Hello and welcome to 3 Minutes with Newman. This is Father Juan Velez. Conscience, freedom, and the God who founds a nation. This week we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. There will be fireworks and parades, speeches and cookouts all across the country. But underneath the celebration lies a question worth reflecting upon. What exactly are we celebrating? We're celebrating 250 years of democracy built on the rule of law, religious freedom, and freedom of speech. And the preamble to the Declaration tells us why such a government was ever possible at all. Quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Close quote. Before there is a government, there is a creator. Before there are rights, there is a giver of rights. The founders, most of them practicing Christians, did not imagine a nation that invents its own freedoms. They received freedom as a gift, rooted in the fact that we are, each of us, children of God, made in His image and endowed by Him with the dignity no government can grant and none should take away. Conscious as the voice of God. If there is one place where Newman speaks most directly to this anniversary, it is in his defense of conscience. Writing decades later in England, far from the American founding, Newman was nonetheless answering the same question the founders had to answer. What is it in a person that no state may rightly override? For Newman, conscience is not simply a personal opinion or a private preference, the way we so often hear it described today. In his letter to the Duke of Norfolk, he insists that conscience is nothing less than the voice of God heard within the human heart, implanted in us before any training or persuasion, prior to the state, prior even to the Church's discipline in the concrete order of things. In one of his best-known lines, Newman calls conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ, a phrase meant to unsettle any authority, civil or ecclesiastical, that would ask a person to act against what they know in God's presence to be true. Newman goes so far as to say that if he were ever asked to raise a toast after dinner, he would drink first to conscience and only then to the Pope. Not because conscience outranks legitimate authority in the ordinary run of things. Newman is careful and precise here and gives obedience its full due. But because conscience answers first and finally to God, and no human authority can rightly ask a soul to betray that inner court. This is what religious freedom protects. Not merely the right to worship in a building on Sunday, but the sacred space within each person. Quote, "Where convictions are formed and where conscience can guide decisions made in the intimacy of the human heart," close quote, in the Holy Father's recent words on receiving the Liberty Medal. A medical resident who declines to participate in an abortion or a euthanasia procedure is not obstructing the law. He or she is honoring the very thing the First Amendment was written to shield. A marketing consultant who chooses to decline indecent advertising is acting according to a well-ordered conscience. A democracy needs virtuous citizens. Alexis de Tocqueville, visiting this young country in the 1830s, observed something that has not stopped being true. A democracy cannot survive on laws alone. Free speech carries with it the duty of truthfulness. Respect for law requires a practice of justice. Multiply statutes as we like. Without honesty among citizens, there will be injustice regardless. For Newman, this connects to something even more fundamental than good citizenship, as we usually think of it. In one of his tracts, he describes the citizenship given to us in baptism. Citizenship in Christ's kingdom, received, not earned. The beginning of a new nature, and an inheritance that no earthly government confers. Our standing as citizens of a nation, however precious, is a shadow and a training ground for the deeper citizenship we already hold in heaven. St. Jose Maria reminds us that this heavenly citizenship does not excuse us from our earthly duties. Quite the opposite. As children of God, at the very heart of society, we are called to defend the rights of others, to live justly, and to form our consciences carefully enough that they are worth listening to. A country, in the end, is as good as its citizens. Laws help, but they cannot manufacture virtue. St. Jose Maria reminds us that as citizens we are called to defend these rights, not from a distance, through slogans, but through the quiet and daily practice of honesty, justice, and charity that shapes the people around us. Gratitude as the Christian response. Independence Day arrives fittingly, with Thanksgiving already on our lips. But Thanksgiving, as Newman would remind us, is not a vague sentiment. It is one of the primary acts of the virtue of religion, and it finds its fullest expression in the Holy Mass itself. When the priest says, "Let us give thanks to the Lord," and we answer, "It is right and just," we are doing something far more concrete than feeling grateful. We are exercising a duty owed to God as our Creator and Redeemer. So perhaps the truest way to mark this 250th anniversary of our nation is not only with fireworks, but with deliberate, concrete thanksgiving, a mass offered for the nation, a rosary prayed for its leaders, an unashamed grace said before a meal in public. Newman's whole life testifies that the freedoms we cherish to think, to speak, to worship, to follow conscience, are gifts held in trust, meant to be exercised in gratitude rather than presumed upon. Let us ask the Lord on this anniversary for the grace of religious freedom for our nation, and for citizens, ourselves included, virtuous enough to deserve it. Our Lady, Immaculate Conception, Patroness of the United States, pray for us.